now says a great big amen. Amen. Be seated. God bless you. Thank you, worship team, Anne and team, for an amazing morning in worship so far. You know, part of me just wants to say, let's carry on worshiping and let's just get praying. But I do have a message to share with you. And we're going to start that message now. It's a teaching, a bit of a teaching this morning on fasting and prayer. And what God wants to do in your life and in the life of this church.
Amen.
Good. So we have one congregation member this morning. Once we have two, the Lord is here. According to scripture, you've got two. Okay. To move a car, to move an aeroplane, to move a train, to move a ship, it requires fuel. To have energy to conduct our everyday lives requires fuel. We call it food. To move mountains and to see God do what only God can do and to see God break through in supernatural ways which are far beyond our hopes, our dreams, our expectations requires something of us. It requires fasting. And it requires prayer. It requires fasting because we acknowledge in that moment that our only source of hope is God. Our world today is showing us more and more and more that actually our hope can no longer lie in politicians. No matter how good they are, no matter how much we pray for them and we should pray for them, our hope is ultimately God. Our hope cannot lie in a vaccine or in a medical system or in a doctor, no matter how good and helpful and fantastic all of that is. Our hope for our health and for worldwide health ultimately lies in the hands of the true and living God. Our hope for our lives and God's destiny on our lives doesn't rely on our degrees or our master's degree or our doctorate or lack thereof. It relies on God. I wonder when the disciples were struggling a little bit when they were ministering, Jesus said certain types only come out through fasting and prayer. And there are moments in our lives where God calls us to prayer, but he calls us even deeper to connect with him through prayer, and that's what prayer does. It connects us to God. Yeah? I hope it does that for you. When you pray, does it connect you with God? We know Jesus lives in us by the power of the Spirit and in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Well, when we pray, there is a fresh, dynamic, supernatural, anointed connection that comes. So prayer connects us with God, but fasting does something. Fasting also does something. Fasting disconnects us from the world. Fasting disconnects us from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the lust of life. That is why Jesus said certain types can only come out through fasting and prayer. So, fasting then is a voluntary abstinence from food. No one's forcing anybody to do anything. It's voluntary. It's a voluntary abstinence from food. Biblically speaking, prayer and fasting is definitely something we should be doing. Amen? Maybe you need to say amen and the rest of you catch up a bit later on. Far too often, though, the focus of prayer and fasting is on abstaining from food instead of seeking the purposes of God. So when we abstain from food, it's not the new Christian weight loss program. It may have certain benefits for some. And for some, the benefit of weight loss, in your view, may be a good thing. But for others, the benefit of weight loss, depending where they are at medically, may not be such a good thing. So when we fast, we also fast responsibly. We don't want to create new problems in our lives. So there's a responsibility that comes from fasting, and there's an integrity that comes with fasting, and there's an accountability that comes with fasting. Let someone know. If you're going to be fasting for more than a day, let someone know you're going to start on such and such a day, and you're going to finish on such and such a day. It keeps you accountable. Amen. Okay, so fasting is not the new diet fad within Buckersdale Baptist Church. So when you fast and pray, prayer is reaching out after the unseen. Fasting is letting go of all that is seen and temporal. That's what we're doing this week. We're going to get through muddy waters and we're going to see in Jesus' name. And that's the two big agenda items for our prayer week of fasting and prayer is the following. God, open our eyes and God, open heaven. Okay? And sometimes our eyes are so full of the temporal that we cannot see what God has put right in front of us. Fasting helps express. Fasting helps deepen. Fasting helps confirm the resolution that we are ready to sacrifice anything to see God's kingdom come. And that's the week we're going into. You may choose to fast and pray in different ways. You may decide to do a Daniel fast or a partial fast. For those who eat meat, you may decide it's going to be vegetables. It may be for a day or two. We have a sign-up sheet out in the foyer. Please do sign up, whatever the Lord leads you. You may feel you can do one meal. That's fine. You may feel you can do a day's worth of meals. You may feel you could do a couple of days. Well, that's between you and the Lord. But at the same time, if you're going anywhere from 3 days onwards, please speak to someone. And please, you'll know who you are, speak to a medical professional. Okay? We fast responsibly. But at the same time, we fast sacrificially. If you are well and you are able and you can fast, well, the Bible really recommends that we fast. So some of us may do a partial fast. In Daniel 10 verses 2 and 3, there's no screen on this. I wasn't planning on saying this. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, nor meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. But we're doing 1 week. What Daniel was saying is he gave up on the finer things of life. He gave up on the delicacies. And that's where God is calling us. He's calling us to connect with him and disconnect with the world. Disconnect from the things of the flesh. Disconnect from the things of the flesh that weigh us down and break us as a people and put the brakes on the church, because the Holy Spirit will never put the brakes on the church. It's the flesh that wants to stop the move and the momentum of God. And Daniel gave up the finer things. He gave up the delicacies. And that speaks into a myriad of other ways within our own lives, every single one of us. Maybe there are certain things of the flesh where during the week of fasting and prayer, you're going to conquer those things in Jesus' name. God's looking for clean hands and pure hearts. And as a church, that is who he's raising us up to be. That is countercultural. Countercultural, who says you can be whatever you want to be. You can identify with whatever you want to identify. No one can tell you. God has called his church to purity. Amen. God has called his church to excellence. We are people of high moral values. Not to say, look at me, not to say I'm self-righteous. Look, there's nothing worse than a self-righteous Christian. Because the self is right all the time. And if you've ever met any self who is right all the time, you know they're hard work. No one is as right as that self. Mr. Self themselves, or Mrs. Self, or Miss whatever. However, when we are righteous because of the gift of grace from Jesus upon our lives, we walk a life of humility and transparency and openness and love for God and love for people. So fasting and praying is going to connect us with God. It's going to disconnect us from the world. Some of us may do a partial fast. Some may do what we call a normal fast, which is fasting food and water. Jesus did what we would call a normal fast when he was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert for 40 days. Because theologians point out that Jesus he was tempted about his hunger. He wasn't tempted about his thirst. We also get an absolute fast. We see the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. When he had the Damascus Road experience, he was 3 days without sight, and he neither ate nor drank. But can you see the time limit? So fasting isn't to punish your body. We're not into self-punishment. Jesus has already paid the penalty, the sacrifice, once and for all, according to the writer to the Hebrews. So it's once and for all. Okay? We come and we don't need to re-sacrifice, but Christians are called to sacrifice. Our sacrifice won't save us, but our sacrifice will disconnect us from the world and connect us to God in a whole new way. So you get a partial fast, a normal fast, and then you get an absolute fast. Matthew 6, 16 to 18 puts it this way, "And whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face." Oh, I'm fasting today. "As the hypocrites do." So the hypocrites put on a gloomy face. "For they neglect their appearance in order to be fasting by men." Isn't that interesting? So Jesus teaches us that we can fast by earthly standards. Fasting, to all the religious people, "You look like you're doing a great job. Oh, so religious." Now, there's a difference between a religious spirit and the Spirit of God. People often say to me, "Oh, they're not into religion because religion causes world wars." I 100% agree with them on both accounts. Religion causes war, and I'm not into religion either. I'm into Jesus. Okay? And religious people can do all the same things that Christians do, but it's a counterfeit. It's not real. There's no connection with God, and there's no disconnection from the world. And Jesus carried on to say, "Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full." So they've got their reward. They've been noticed by others. Well, what reward is that? What can you do supernaturally for me? What can I do supernaturally for you? So Jesus is saying, don't try and impress others with your fasting and prayer. Look like you're feasting. That's amazing. I didn't even give you that scripture, and it's up on the screen. Supernatural stuff's happening here this morning. I'm telling you, that's so good. "Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you fast..." So now Jesus is talking to the disciple. "When you..." Wow. Imagine sitting down with Jesus, and he's talking to you about your week of prayer and fasting. And he's talking about the hypocrites and the religious spirit, and those that are going to only do good in the eyes of man. And he turns and he leans in and he looks at you and he says, "But you." Wow. What's he really saying? He's really saying, you are his. You're in relationship. You're not one of those who will get up there one day and say, "Lord, Lord, I fasted in your name. Lord, Lord, I ministered in your name. Lord, Lord, I cast out demons in your name." And Jesus said, "Sorry, I didn't know you." You see, we can easily do the work of God, and it may look right, but it may be absolutely counterfeit and hypocritical because it's not done in the name of Jesus. It's not done in a relationship with him. I can stand here and preach, and if I don't have a relationship with him, it means nothing. Many preachers get up all over the world every Sunday. They're not in relationship with Jesus. I know of preachers that in their preaching career, someone else has had to lead them to Jesus. I mean, how sad is that? It's about relationship. Everything we do, our fasting and our prayer, is out of relationship with him. He says, "Truly I say to you, they have the reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not be seen fasting by men." Wow. So get some of that Versace spray on yourself. Wash your face. Smell nice. Look good. I'm an hour into fasting. I'm just winding you up. Either rotten tomatoes are coming my way, or I really loved it. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not be seen fasting by men. But your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret, will repay you. There may be a secret that's not a great secret in your life, that you keep a secret and you don't want to show any Christian. It always amazes me this. You get Christians with secrets they don't want to show anyone else because the secret's not a very good secret. It's a bad thing. But yet when it comes to fasting and spiritual stuff, they want to show it off. Well, why don't you show it all off then? No, we do this to connect with God and disconnect from the world. My very first scripture on my list this morning, straight after the vision statement, Julian, is 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is what we've been singing this morning. If my people who are called by my name. Now, is there anybody like that here this morning? Yeah? Yeah? You identify with that? Will humble themselves. Don't pray, God, humble me, unless you want catastrophic effects in your life. God gives you the opportunity and me the opportunity to humble ourselves. If. Okay, so he's putting the challenge out there. And seek my face. So if my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Now we know no man has seen the face of God and lived. So what's he calling us to do? Calling us to die to self. It's fasting. That doesn't say specific fasting, but dying to self. One aspect of it can be fasting. And when we seek his face, what happens? Our eyes open because we can see. And turn from their wicked ways. Then I will, yeah. Can you see the if then? Can you see the if then? Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. I don't know about you, this land needs healing. Who is it up to? The Prime Minister? You need to pray for the Prime Minister. Some agreement with the political powers that be across the pond? It's up to us to humble ourselves and pray. And he will hear from heaven. A few weeks ago on a Sunday evening, I spoke to you about God opening heaven, rending the heavens. And in the original languages, that rend the heavens has a few interpretations. One is to open heaven like a beast will attack another beast and open that beast up. So God will open the heavens in a dramatic way. Another translation is just as a door is opened, God will open a door. He'll open heaven over our lives. And that's what we're praying. That's revival when heaven gets opened over our lives. So we're praying this week. And I've been inspired by the Holy Spirit for this message. And I've been inspired through reading scripture. I've been inspired to spending time with the Lord for this message. And I've also been inspired through reading and hearing what other pastors and men of God have to say on this topic. And one of them being R.A. Torrey, who was a revivalist and evangelist back in his time. And he said this, I can give a prescription that will bring revival. I don't know, if you go to the doctor and you think you need an antibiotic, you after one thing in that doctor's appointment, and that's a prescription. Right? You're not going to have a cup of tea or a slice of cake with the doctor. You want the prescription. Anybody like that? Or is it just me? I'm on a mission when I visit the doctor. I want a prescription. I want Jesus to heal me first of all. And he said, I can give a prescription that will bring revival. Revival to any church or any community or any city on earth. Well, I'm fine with fitting into any of that. Okay? First, let a few Christians get thoroughly right with God. So God's not looking for this whole church to get right with him. He's looking for a few. I don't know about you, I want to be part of that few. I want to be part of the few that gets thoroughly right with God. If this is done, Torrey says, the rest will come to nothing. Second, let them bind themselves together in prayer for revival until God opens the windows of heaven and comes down. So, we could have sang songs this morning and we could have sang them all once through and we could have sat down and we could have been finished with the service for now. The chicken could be in the oven could be on 220 degrees Celsius and we're all happy. Chicken's on its way. Till you have bird flu outbreak and then, oh my goodness. But sometimes we've got to press in. God's calling us to press in. He's calling us to sing. He's calling us to pray. He's calling us to say, Lord, send revival. And he wants us to be desperate. Revival's a big thing. It's a big ask. We must really be prepared to ask him for it and be prepared for it when it comes. Because it's going to upset our Sundays. It's going to turn our lives upside down or the right side up, whatever way you want to look at it, it's going to do that. Because wherever we go, Jesus, his presence, will flow through our lives. You'll go to work and you're not allowed to talk about Jesus and all of a sudden, just because you're in the room, someone will get healed. How can you not talk about Jesus? It will challenge everything about your life. Somebody will ask a question. What makes you so different? It's not Kellogg's cornflakes. It's Jesus. It can turn our lives upside down. We must really want this. And if we can't even be bothered to sacrifice one meal in fasting, we're not going to be bothered to sacrifice our lives when revival comes. Awesome. So he said, let them bind themselves together to pray for revival until God opens the heavens and comes down. Third, let them put themselves at the disposal of God for his use as he sees fit in winning others. By prayer, we tap into the mind of God. By prayer, we move the hand that moves the world. By prayer, we receive grace and faith. By prayer, we acquire wisdom and direction. Just like we need the air to breathe, we need prayer. It is as vital. A prayerless Christian is a dead Christian. We've got to push through, break through in Jesus' name. Charles Spurgeon said, I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. Why? Because it's all about God's presence. His presence changes the world. We want to be a people saturated with God. We want to be a people filled with the presence of God. And we're going to pray that God opens our eyes. First prayer we're going to be praying, God open our eyes, is God open our eyes to your provision. In Genesis 21, we see an interesting story of Hagar, a mother who was in a desperate situation. And maybe you in a desperate situation this morning. And Hagar was in a desperate situation. And if God had not opened her eyes, she would have remained in a desperate situation. The solution was right in front of her. But because of her point of desperation and where her mindset was at, she couldn't see the solution. And Carol, this is the same as the picture you shared with me before the service, where Carol saw someone and there was like an oasis of life and all the good things that God has for them, but they were faced in the wrong direction It was behind them. They needed to turn around and see what God is doing. And that's what fasting and prayer does. It opens our eyes to God's provision. It gets us to turn around and to see what God is doing. So Hagar, she was in the wilderness and she had a child. His name was Ishmael. They had been put out by Abraham and Sarah. A really awkward story in the Bible and a doubly awkward situation. And we read this in Genesis 21 from verse 15. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down about a bow's shot away. For she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And as she sat there, she began to sob. She had run out of provision. The water in the skin was the last of her provisions. The boy was crying from hunger and thirst. And she thought, I can't bear this. I can't even sit with my child and die with my child. So she went bow shot. They used to shoot with bows in those days. So as far as the arrow would go, she went. So she couldn't hear him. A desperate situation. And maybe you're in a desperate situation today. We've got to pray that God will open our eyes to his provision. We have a vision as a church. And the vision will only be accomplished through God's provision. Where do you think we get the word provision from? In favor of the vision. Where there's vision, God brings provision. Every time. That's the way God works. When you live within God's vision, when he has opened your eyes to his vision for your life, and you live within that, he brings the provision. Every time. All the time. That's how God works. But look at this. God heard the boy crying. Folks, God hears our kids. Even if you think your kids are a million miles from the Lord, there's still a cry in them. God, help me. God, help me with my friends. Help me with my schoolwork. Help me with my college work. Help me at uni. Help me with my GCSEs. God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. He hears our kids' cries. So God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Now look at verse 19. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Did that well of water all of a sudden just appear like magic out of nowhere? Poof. No, it was there all the time. But because of her distress, because of her disconnection, she could not see the well. But God heard the cry of the boy. And God opened her eyes to provision. So, the Bible says, she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. Isn't that awesome? God, open our eyes to provision. The next thing, I'm going to rush through this now, is actually before the next thing, I want to share this. Because before we came to this church, I knew God wanted us to come, and I was super excited. But I also knew the beginning days would be very challenging. The Holy Spirit revealed that to me over and over and over again. And I kept saying, I'll do it for you, God. And I was at a friend's church preaching just before I came here. You know the guy, Martin. And after the sermon that day, he told the church, Kevin's moving to a new church. And they want to prophesy over me. And at that point, he actually said to me, I've never seen you look worried ever before in your whole life. This is the first time I've seen you look worried. I said, there is a worry in my spirit. I know I'm doing the right thing. God has called me. And then he said, God has shown him that there is water there. It may be deep, it may need to be dug up, but there is water. So in other words, God's provision to get the job done is there. And the same in the story in Genesis 21, the well was there. Let's not let our discouragement keep us away from God's provision. It's there. Let's open our eyes. Secondly, open our eyes, firstly, to God's provision. Are you with me still? Secondly, I've preached loads I didn't expect to preach on. Okay. Secondly, open our eyes. I was really inspired. I heard a man of God talk about this in the week. Open our eyes to the right direction. Yes. Things may just be going all over the show in your life. You may not know what the right direction is. God will open your eyes to the right direction. Look at Numbers 22, verse 31. It's about Balaam, and you've heard about Balaam and Balaam's donkey and all of that. We don't have time, unfortunately, to get into it. But suffice to say, Numbers 22, verse 31. Great stuff. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. You see a little recurring theme here? Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. What was going on there? Balaam was going in the wrong direction. Eventually, God opened Balaam's eyes and he saw an angel standing with a sword in the path. And God effectively was saying something like this: I'm going to open your eyes, Balaam, and show you that you are going in the wrong direction, and I'm going to open your eyes and show you the right path and the right direction for your life. As we get into a week of fasting and prayer, God will open your eyes to provision. Secondly, He'll open your eyes to the right direction. As a church, we have a direction to build a Christ-centered church. Yeah? The direction we're going in, to build a Christ-centered church, to impact our world by building a Christ-centered church, connecting, transforming, and empowering lives, building the church of tomorrow today. And you may not know where you fit into that, but in the week of fasting and prayer, God will open your eyes, He will open doors, and I decree in the name of Jesus that you will be going in the right direction, and so will this church. God will open our eyes. Thirdly, and I've got one more and that's it. Thirdly, God open our eyes to protection. Because when you step out to do anything for the Lord, there is an evil one out there called Satan. Very discouraged. Have you seen this? And God says, not God, I beg your pardon, Elisha prays to God and asks God to open his servant's eyes. And when he opens his servant's eyes, the servant sees horses and chariots of fire. And Elisha says, see, those who are for us are more than those who are with them. And you and God are always in the majority. May God open your eyes to His protection. I could say a lot more about that, but we've got to come into a land now. And lastly, may God open our eyes to divine visitation. May God open our eyes during this time of fasting and prayer to divine visitation. What I mean by that, in Luke 24, after His resurrection, Jesus walked on the road of Emmaus with some of His disciples, and then He went to a house with them. But they didn't recognize it was Him at first. Their eyes needed to be opened. So we see in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 30 and 31, when He was at the table with them, He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Does that sound familiar? Maybe God will do something familiar that He's done before that will open your eyes to Him again. Maybe He'll do something new. Then their eyes, verse 31, look at that. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him, and He disappeared from their sight. May God open our eyes to a divine visitation of Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, because we need God's presence, not just visiting with us, but dwelling with us every moment of every day in our lives. But our eyes need to be opened that Jesus is with us and Jesus is in us and Jesus has gone before us and Jesus is making a way. In fact, Jesus is our provision. Jesus is our direction. Jesus is our protection. God, open my eyes to a fresh new visitation from you, Lord Jesus. I want you to visit my home. I want you to visit my work. I want you to visit my life. I want you to visit my business. I want a visitation. I want you to come and dwell in the richness of your life-changing presence in my life. In conclusion, Hagar had her eyes opened to the provision of God. Balaam had his eyes opened to the direction of God. Elisha's servant had his eyes opened to the protection of God. The disciples had their eyes opened to the visitation of God. It's time that you and I have our eyes open to a fresh, new, radical encounter with the living God. This week, I'm going to see what others don't see in Jesus' name. This week, I'm going to hear what others don't hear in Jesus' name. This week, I'm going to feel what others don't feel in Jesus' name, because God will open my eyes spiritually. You can look at your situation. It may be exactly the same, but you will see what God sees, and God will get you through. Let's see life through the eyes of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes. Maybe you want to pray that to the Lord right now and cry out in your own heart and mind to him and say, Lord, open my eyes to your protection, your direction, your provision, your visitation. Your provision, your direction, your protection, your visitation. Lord, please open my eyes. Maybe you'd like to consecrate yourself to God on this first day of fasting and praying. Maybe you didn't really get into it, and this morning the Lord's just stirring something in your spirit, and you know, man, I need to fast a meal. Maybe it's breakfast. Maybe it's dinner tonight. Maybe you're going to plan it in somewhere in the week. You know, you could take a lunch break at work and you could just fast that lunch and spend that time with God. Maybe you want to make that commitment to God now and say, Lord, for my life, for my business, for my family, Lord, for my church, would you open my eyes to your provision? Would you open your eyes to your direction? Would you open my eyes to your protection? Would you open my eyes to your visitation? Would you make that commitment to God now to do that? Maybe you've got to commit to come Wednesday evening. You're coming against all odds. You will be here. No matter how you feel, no matter what storm blows out there, you'll be here in Jesus' name. Come on, church. It's our time to fast. It's our time to pray. It's our time to cry out to God for now and for the future of our lives and the future of his church. Let's do this. Let's do this. God's waiting on us. Like in the game of tennis, one serves. God has served that ball. He's waiting on us. What are we going to do? If my people who are called by my name, we can do this, can't we? We can do this. If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. while every eye is closed and head is bowed in this amazing moment this morning. If you know you've got to recommit your life to Christ, this is your moment. If you know you've got to give your life to Jesus for the first time, equally, this is your moment. If that is you, if you feel the Lord knocking at the door of your heart and saying, either recommit or give your life to the first time, would you pray this prayer after me and say, dear Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you love me. Please forgive me a sinner. Please forgive me a sinner and come into my heart. Come into my heart. I invite you in to my life. I believe you died for me on the cross. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I invite you into my life as my Lord and Savior, not just for today, not just for tomorrow, not just for this year, but all the way through and into eternity. In Jesus' name, every eye still closed, head bowed. If you prayed that prayer, recommitment or the first time, just quickly slip up your hand and take it down again. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Four hands have gone up this morning. That is awesome. Lord, I pray for all four of those people responding. I pray for the seal of your Holy Spirit.